chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1 this morning. How many of you have heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? All right, just about everybody's heard that. Some of you younger people may not have heard that. I don't know if that still goes around or not. All right, now let me ask this question. How many of you have been hurt by words? Yeah. You know, the phrase is technically not true. I want to take a few weeks. Let me encourage you to, come to church. Try to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Sunday school, Wednesday night. Sometimes it's hard to decide. When do you preach what? As you seek God's guidance, you study the Word of God, you prepare things, and it's like, well, I know that Sunday morning, this group of people is going to be there, and Sunday evening, this group of people is going to be there, and some of them that come on Sunday morning aren't going to be there on Sunday night, and some that come on Sunday night aren't going to be there on Sunday morning, and some people come and leave after Sunday school, and some people come just for the service after Sunday school's over, and you're missing out. You're missing a portion of the Word of God that is preached. And, you're wanting a church unity and everybody to grow together, and some people are missing out on the preaching of the Word of God. So I encourage you, come out as much as you possibly can. I know that there are so many things vying for your time and attention in this world. But come out to church and put church as a priority. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious. So it's a man among you, it's a person that's coming to church, and it looks like he's got some a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's got some religion, he's got some faith, he's got some different things. Well, the Bible says this, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, so he doesn't control it, he doesn't put a bridle on it, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That is an interesting and very serious statement. You come and you've got everything seemingly together in your Christian life and you can't control the tongue. He says your religion's worthless. It's vain. It's empty. Vain means empty. Why? Because everything that you strive for in all of these areas of your life, your testimony that you work to build so solidly in these areas of your life, you go out and say one thing and you can blow it all. And you blow your testimony, you can blow it at work, you can blow it at home, you can blow it. And so God says, look, we've got to get a hold of our tongue. We've got to control that tongue. So let's pray and we'll look at this morning. Father, I ask as we look at the things to do in the Word of God with the tongue and with words spoken and all of these things, God, I ask that you would help us as Christian people. Most people here are Christians. Father, if there is someone here today and they're not saved, God, I ask that you would help them today to understand their need of salvation. Father, help all of us to understand what this tongue that we have in our mouth is capable of, for good and for bad. And God, I pray that we would use it in a right way and that we would control it and get control of it with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm chapter 63, let's look to begin with at the purpose of the tongue. Psalm chapter 63, some things that the tongue ought to be used for. In Psalm 63 and verse 3 through 5, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. You catch that phrase, thus will I bless thee while I live. You know how many people, I'll spend my time praising the Lord when I get to heaven. You know what? That is a cop-out on life. I'll tell you what, your life is for the purpose of living for the Lord here, living for eternity here. It's not, I'll wait till I get close to death and then maybe I'll get saved and then I'll think about the Lord. No, give your life to Him now. He's worth it. He's your Savior. He says, I will lift up mine hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So we ought to use our tongues, we ought to use our mouth to give praise and thanks to the Lord and just glorify His name. In Psalm chapter 35, And verse 28, it says, "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." So the first thing is saying, look, I am going to use my tongue and my mouth and my lips, God, to give you praise and honor and glory. You know, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know what he did? He took your sins. He took my sins. He paid for those sins on the cross. And so we use our tongue and we say, God, I want to praise you. I want to thank you. You didn't have to do that for me, but you did do that for me. And that is a blessing to me. And then we look at it and say, okay, now that I have given praise to God, I'm going to use my tongue to talk about the righteousness of God. I'm going to use my tongue to praise the Lord and talk about the praise of the Lord with other people all the way, all the time. How often do you talk about the righteousness of God? How often do you talk about doing right? How often do you talk about ministering to the Lord? How often do you talk about serving the Lord? You put that timeline up against the other things that you talk about, and you think, how much of our time do we spend using our tongue for the right things? Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 172. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." So he says, look, not only am I going to praise the Lord with my tongue, not only am I going to talk about his righteousness with other people, I am going to use my tongue to talk about the word of God. You know, a primary thing of that would be to witness, to talk to other people about the Lord, to give a witness for our Savior. I want to just make a note of something. I got a phone call this week from a worker at Walmart. And I'm making this announcement because of a situation that Walmart has made it against company policy for them to take physically in their hand anything from anybody except money that you're paying for. And this person called me and says, you know, somebody tried to hand me a gospel tract. She says, I could get written up for taking that. Okay? I just am saying that. You know, we need to witness. We got to be careful of people. So when you go to Walmart, they said, you know, if you just lay it down right on the counter there, like where you write checks and say, I'm just going to leave something here for you. She says, you know, then we can take it and that's no problem. But if the cameras see or somebody's watching and we physically take that, we can get written up from that for that. So just pay attention to that, because we're not trying to get people in trouble. We do want to get the gospel out. We want to get tracts out. But that, I guess that policy came into effect about 3 years ago. Sam Walton would have never let that happen. But, you know, there's new leadership and there's new control and all of these kind of things, and they try to put a clamp down. But it's not the worker's fault, okay? It's the company's fault. So let's try to do that. I just thought of that. When I thought about, hey, we need to witness, yes, we also need to be careful what we do. Use our tongue to witness to people. Use our tongue to talk about the Word of God. How about giving the Word of God out as an encouragement? You know, quoting a Bible verse to someone in a time of need, talking about what the Lord has done in time of need, praying with someone in a time of need. We're using and talking about the Word of God. So the purpose of our tongue, look, if you don't know the Word of God, how do you talk about it? You know, we have conversations about the Word of God. Well, you can't talk about it if you don't know what's in it. Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you grasping hold of it? You know, some people, I'm convinced, they won't go talk to someone about the Word of God because they're afraid of the questions that are going to be asked. And there will be questions asked of you. When you do go witness, well, we need to be knowledgeable about what it says so that we can speak and speak the Word of God clearly and use our tongue for its intended purpose. The tongue also has some problems. So the second thing, the problem of the tongue, Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Wow, you look at that. You ever meet somebody who their mouth constantly gets them in trouble? I'll tell you, that was me when I was a 12-year-old boy. My mouth got me in trouble plenty of times when I was a 12-year-old boy. My mouth needed a bridle on it. It wasn't saying wicked or evil things, but I was saying things that got me into trouble. And you look at it, and a fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are a snare of his soul. You make a promise, and that promise, all of a sudden something happens and you can't keep the promise. What have you done? You've snared yourself, right? You got to be careful what you say. You got to be careful how rapidly you speak. You got to be careful about some of these things and what you allow yourself to say, because you can get yourself in trouble. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says this: "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." So your mouth can be your trouble, but if you will control your mouth, it can keep you from troubles. You gotta take this thing and realize my tongue can get me in trouble. How many of you, your tongue ever got you in trouble? That's just about everybody, or at least everybody that's honest, right? Somebody, you said something. Some of you, you got you in trouble with a peer, and you said something to the wrong person, and they were bigger than you. That can happen. Sometimes it was a promise. Sometimes it was, I'll do that. And then it turned out that it conflicted with other things. A lot of times I have to look at my calendar. I have to look at my calendar because I could promise someone something. Well, I've got something else is already there. And so you got to be careful. Don't speak too quickly. Think it over before you speak too quickly. And always, you know, we're guilty. Every one of us guilty sometimes. Why? The tongue is one of those things that's hard to control. So look at the control of the tongue. Psalm 139. Understand this. Psalm 139 and verse 4. It says, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Everybody ever say anything behind someone's back? God knew it. You ever walk away muttering something under your breath? You know, God hears every word that's in your tongue. God knows everything you say. God knows where you said it, when you said it. God says we're going to give account for every idle word. That could be a scary thing, couldn't it? You think about this. God knows everything that you say. God knows every time you use His name in vain. God knows every word that comes off the tip of your tongue. Even, I'm controlling it, I'm not going to say it. God knows you're just about to say it. God knows every swear word that you say. God knows what you say under your breath when you hit your thumb with a hammer. God knows every one of those words. You can't hide it from Him. So in saying that, we need to learn to control this thing. In Job chapter 2, Job chapter 2, this is an amazing statement made about Job here. His wife comes to him in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, says, "Then said his wife unto him." Now Job had just lost everything. He'd lost his children, they had died, his flocks, his health. His wife comes and says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." God heard her say that, by the way. It's recorded right here. How would you like to be Job's wife? Forever in the history of the Word of God, it's written, this is what Job's wife said. Now, you can defend Job's wife a little bit later on. The fact, you know, through all of this, good night, she went through a lot. Can you imagine going through what she went through? I can't even imagine. She stayed with him. She stayed faithful to her husband. She bore him 10 more children later on. They lived a little longer back then. But you think about that. But it's recorded in the Word of God. She made this statement, "Job, curse God and die." Oh, you can't take it back. It's out. It's recorded. What if God recorded everything we said? Wow. Maybe He has. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ, huh? We need it. But He said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Amazing statement right here. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? 10 kids die. He doesn't say one bad thing. A guy comes and says, look, they took all of your flocks and herds. He doesn't say one bad thing. He loses his health. He doesn't say one bad thing. He had some questions. He dealt with some hardships. He did eventually say, you know, oh, I wish I'd never been born. But in all of this, it says he didn't sin with his lips. Wow, what a man. To be able through all of that to have control of this thing that God says is hard to control. So, Job, it can be done, right? It can be done. And we have the advantage of having the Holy Spirit of God living within our hearts. We have the advantage of having known Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to watch what we say. So in controlling the tongue, we need to get out the bridle. Turn to Psalm 39. Psalm chapter 39. And verse 1, Psalm chapter 39 and verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my mouth. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Here's a guy. He says, look, I'm going to watch my ways. I'm going to watch where I go, what I do. And he says, because I'm in danger of sinning with my tongue. I'm going to make sure that I keep my tongue. I'm going to make sure that I watch where I go and where I am. And then he says this, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. There are times when wicked people stand before you and they make argument against God or they say some pretty bad things, and you've got to know what is the right thing to say at this time. Because there are times where you want to just haul off and let them have it. Give them the whole barrage of everything that's going on in the back of your mind. You just let loose the tongue and let it rip. The psalmist says, look, when the wicked are before me, I have a responsibility. I am a Christian person. I have to hold my tongue. I got to put a bridle on it. I can't answer swearing with swearing. I can't say the same rotten garbage things that they're saying to me back to them. I have a testimony to maintain. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have a testimony to maintain. Look up here, buddy, okay? We've got to watch what we're saying, using our tongue, putting a bridle on it all the way through so that we say the right thing, so that we keep our tongue and keep our testimony with that. Turn, if you will, to James. This is the key passage, I guess, in all of the Bible that deals with the tongue. James chapter 3. And we're going to go through this a little bit. And it says in James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters. Don't seek power, don't seek position, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. With position and with power come condemnation. Who's the most condemned man in the United States of America right now? I'll tell you what, I don't want the job. It'd be the president, right? And one president is condemned by this side, the other president is condemned by this side. You can't win with that thing. You get the greater condemnation. He says, look, you're better off sometimes just not seeking the position. For in many things we offend. We offend all. If any man offend not in word. Okay, that means they don't say something that's going to cause someone else to stumble and fall. The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If you can control the tongue, you got a lot of self-discipline. And you're going to be able to control the rest of you. Because obviously the Bible's saying the tongue is the hardest thing to control. The tongue is the hardest thing to control. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths and they that they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You watch it. Some of these horses are big. We had some horses out here on Old Fashioned Day. You step up next to those, it's like, wow, that's a big animal. You try to get up on that thing, but you know what? You put a bridle in that horse's mouth. He's been trained and he's been taught. The littlest child, you could take Bobby and sit on that horse and he could pull it that way and the horse would obey him. And the horse is sitting there. Does the horse have to obey Bobby? Absolutely not. He could rear up. He could buck him off. He could take one foot and say, surrender. Right? Bobby would be squished, Bobby. But that horse feels that bridle and he moves the direction that you tell him to go. It says, we turn about the whole body. Verse 4, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the man controlling the ship, it's got this little rudder thing on it. And that little rudder, that ship can go around and around. At camp this last summer, we had a contest where two people got in a canoe and they had to paddle across the lake to the other side. And then two people got in and paddled across. And which team ever got the fastest time on that? And I'll tell you what, some of those canoes were uncontrollable. People had to learn. I mean, they went round and around and around and around. It was wild watching them. I don't know who had the record of the most time across, but you look at it and but you take that little paddle and you put it in the right spot and that boat will go exactly where you tell it to go. You just got to learn where to put the paddle, right? You got to learn which side to put the paddle on, but it's controlled by such a little thing. So, even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member. It's not very big. Compared to your size of your body, it's a little thing. And boasteth great things. Oh, wow. Boasting. That's a whole message in itself, isn't it? People love to tell how great they are, don't they? It is wild to listen to the stories people tell about themselves. Boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. There's a big one going on in California right now, isn't there? Guess how it started? I don't know how it started, but it started little. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew to the point where people are being forced out of their homes. They said it was with, did it get any closer to your children's house? Nope, that's good. It got 18 miles. It came about 18 miles from where the Hornick's daughter lives. 18 miles pretty close when the fire is that big. And you think about it, a tongue is a fire, verse 6. A world of iniquity. Can you imagine, think of an entire world of iniquity. The tongue, it can be violent. The tongue can be sick. The tongue can be perverse. The tongue can be deceitful. The tongue can be lying. There are all kinds of things. It can be boastful. It can be flattering. The tongue, there's a world of iniquity wrapped up in that thing, isn't there? A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. You know, it doesn't say that about the ears. It doesn't say that about the eyes. It doesn't say that about the nose. It says that about the tongue. For every kind of beast and of serpents, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You can tell an elephant where to go. You can lead it by this little string. But then it says this, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. Now, I had a conversation with a man about probably 6-8 weeks ago. And he said, oh, he's a man who claims to be a Christian. Not in this church, so don't try to figure out, oh, is it? No, it's not Kenny Ham or but I had a conversation with this man, and several times he used the Lord's name. Several times he used other language. I'm like, you say you're a Christian. He said, oh, the tongue, it's a bad thing. Well, yes, it is. And God says, get a hold of it. Control it. You don't use the fact that, oh, the tongue can no man tame, to say it's okay to say these things. It's not okay. Sin is not okay. Using your tongue and saying bad things and beating someone up with your language is not okay. Says the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now look at this, verse 9. It shows the hypocrisy of the tongue. Therewith, bless we God. Come to church on Sunday and we sing, you know, glory to God in the highest. We sing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We sing other songs and we bless God and oh, it's great. And therewith, there even the Father, and therewith curse we men that are made after the similitude of God. So you come to church on Sunday, you're saying all the right things, you go out on Monday and you're cursing and swearing at men. That's hypocrisy. God says, look, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You don't do that. Your language and your speech should be representative of the Lord that saved you every day of the week. Control that thing. Verse 11, it asks a question. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What's the obvious answer? No. If it's bad water, it's bad water. If it's good water, it's good water. You can't get two out of the same faucet at the same time. Oh, we'll split the water flow in half, and part of it's sweet and part of it's bitter. It doesn't work like that. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So he says, look, you're Christians. Talk like it. You're Christians. Get a control of that tongue. Show yourself to be a Christian by the words that you speak. Saying, look, it doesn't come out. If you're not bitter here, there's not bitter going to come out of here. You've got a fountain. The things that flow out of your mouth are the things that are in your heart. If you've got a problem with your tongue, you've got to get to the source. You don't change the faucet because the water coming out of the faucet is bad. The problem is somewhere down the line further. Maybe the pipe broke. You don't know what it is. Maybe the tower got polluted. Maybe the filtration system quit working. But the faucet's not the problem. This is the faucet, folks. The source is right here. The reason you say the things that you say is because it's what's in your mind. It's what's in your heart already, right? So you think about this. If you've got a tongue problem, you've got a source problem. There's a heart problem or a mind problem if you've got a tongue problem. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. This is Brother Brown's. He's not here this morning. He's on vacation. This is his life verse. He can quote it just like that, too. I'll tell you what. He says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And you know what? Brother Brown quoted these to me. He says, I try not to talk too much because I want people to think I'm a man of understanding. But hey, it's true, right? You think about this, a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, a person, if you control the tongue, a person looks at you and you get respect, right? You gain respect by controlling the tongue. It doesn't matter who's standing on the other side. When you control your tongue, you get respect from other people. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32 says this, "If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself," there's exaggeration, bragging, boasting, "or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." He says, look, if you have an evil thought, he says, you better put your hand over your mouth, because that's what's going to come out. You've got to realize what you're thinking about, what you're processing in your mind, it's going to come out. So he says, look, if you've got an evil thought, put your hand over your mouth. Stop it from coming out. Because just like the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, the thinking of an evil thought is going to bring forth bad language out of your mouth. So we take this, and God says, look, we've got to control this thing. We've got to get out the bridle. Put a bridle on the tongue. Control it. So how do you control it? Well, a horse, when you put the bridle in, what has to happen? The horse has to be trained, right? You put a bridle on a horse that's never had a bridle before. Is it going to do a lot of good? No, you got to train that horse. They've got to accept the bit. They've got to understand what that bridle and what that bit means to them. And then once they have been trained, they can understand it. So it's not a matter of just looking at it and saying, okay, I'm going to stop saying this. It's not a matter of looking at it and saying, okay, I'm going to control my tongue. There is a method to it. Our tongue needs not only to be bridled, it needs to be trained. So let's look for a moment at the training of the tongue. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. And verse 30. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 30. "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." You know what you're going to talk about? You get people together in a group. You know what they're going to talk about? People are going to talk about what they think about, but they're going to talk about what they often talk about, what they're trained to talk about. Some people, you get them in a group, they talk politics. That's it. Why? Because they're used to talking about politics. Some people talk about the news. Why? Because they're used to talking about the news. Some people talk about the Word of God. Why? Because they're used to talking about the Word of God. Some people talk about sports. Why? Because they're used to talking about sports. Whatever you get used to saying is what comes out. You know who swears? A person who swears. Say, oh, that doesn't make a lot of sense. It actually makes perfect sense. The person that never says a bad word, something happens, he hits his thumb or with a hammer or something bad happens, a swear word doesn't come out of his mouth because he hasn't practiced that. But when you use that language and then something happens, you're in practice of that language. The state of surprise. When a person in the state of surprise, they use the Lord's name in vain. You know who does that? People who do it. People who have that in their practice. If they don't have that in their practice, that doesn't come out. And you have to train your tongue to get those things out of practice. Start putting other things in practice. It's training. Training takes what? Time. Right? It takes patience. It takes effort. I'm not real good at training animals. I don't have the time, the patience, and the effort to put into it. But I'm telling you, your tongue, it's an important thing. It's got to be trained. So he says, look, start talking about wisdom. Start talking about judgment. And those are the things that are going to come out of your mouth. Get rid of the bad language. Start training yourself not to ever use it. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 6 and 7. This is the Word of God giving instruction to us as Christian people, instruction that we need in our life. Proverbs 8, verse 6 and 7 says here, "For I will speak of what? Excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open my mouth and I am going to let right things come out. And if you always have the right things coming out, guess what's going to come out when you talk? Right things. You know who tells dirty jokes? People that listen to and people that repeat dirty jokes. You know what? A Christian person who doesn't go to work and tell dirty jokes, who doesn't go to work and listen to dirty jokes, they're never going to accidentally start telling a joke that's dirty. Because it's not there. It's not there. The person who has to control, oh boy, I can't say that joke. Can't tell that joke in front of that person. Why is the joke there? Why did you repeat it to someone else already? Why did you listen to it? You control it. I'm going to speak of right things. Verse 7 says, "For my mouth shall speak truth." You know who tells lies? People that are in the practice of telling lies. You know who exaggerates the truth? People that have put that into practice in their life. They put in the practice of exaggerating the truth. They always joke about the fishermen. It's not always the fishermen that do it. People just do it with everything in life. It's exaggerated. It's bigger. It's better. You listen to people. You tell somebody, oh, this is what happened to me. And somebody's always got a bigger, better thing. And you wonder, wow, can that much stuff happen to one person? Well, probably there's a little bit of exaggeration going on there. Probably they've gotten used to telling things. I knew a man, and several people knew this same man. I won't use his last name. He was a missionary. And we would see his letters. We're like, wow. And his name was used like this. This is the, let's just say it was Jones. It's not Jones, but this is the Jones factor. What did that mean? That meant that whatever he said was multiplied about 5 times. You know, and it proved out to be true. It's like, oh, you know. He was talking one time to a car salesman, and he told the car salesman, a guy that had been a former car salesman, he told the car salesman how much one of these new Humvee vehicles, H2, H3, oh, you know, that cost this much. He listed like $140,000 or something. Oh, yeah, this guy, no, he's got one of those, and it's $140,000. And the car salesman said, yeah, actually, they're selling for about $60,000 right now. Like, oh, well, that's the, and we use their last name with the factor behind it. It is the factor. It's not like the O'Reilly factor, but it's a similar thing like that. So you think about it. Why? You know, he'd write his prayer letters. Oh, this happened. And you look at it, and it's like, we're sitting over there. We know what actually happened. And when it comes across to the churches, they're thinking, oh, wow, this is, and we're like, yeah, you got to take out the factor out of it, right? Why? He got used to doing it. Everything the man said was exaggerated, blown up. Negative things, positive things, it didn't matter. It was all exaggerated. And the guy's a Christian man. What happens? He got used to it. He got used to saying those things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I'm not going to let anything wicked come out of my, you know what? The thought of something, saying something wicked coming out of my, wow, no, that's an abomination. I'm not saying anything. I'm going to treat that like it's an abomination. I'm not going to say that joke. I'm not going to say anything that's foul or evil or vile. That's an abomination to my mouth. I'm not going to say it. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Say, how do we get control of our tongue? Well, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read the verse in just a minute. A saved man, God has provided us everything we need to get victory in our life, right? We have prayer. We have the Word of God. We have a church. where we can gather together and be encouraged and fellowship and encourage one another and have some accountability. God gives families with a husband and wife and children. Everything that God made, God makes in order to help us get victory in our lives. So when James deals with the tongue, and he says, we're going to Philippians, we're not going to James, but when James deals with the tongue, and he says, my brethren, these things ought not to be. James is looking at this and he is saying, you're Christians. God has given you the victory. God has enabled you to have the victory. We ought to be able to get control of that tongue with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the reading of the Scripture, with prayer. We ought to be able to control our tongue. I'm not saying that every word from now on out in your life is going to be absolutely perfect. But overall, a Christian should live in control of their tongue, shouldn't they? And when you think about that, we need Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. Because the wickedness that comes out of the tongue, every bad word, every taking of the name of the Lord in vain, everything that you call somebody, every sharp word, every flattering word, boastful word, they're all sin. The punishment for sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That death that it's talking about, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you know what I deserve for every bad thing my tongue has ever said? God made my tongue. I have used that tongue at times in my life and sinned with it. I deserved hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he took every bad thing that I used my tongue for, and he took all of that and put it on Jesus Christ. I have a responsibility now as a Christian person to use my tongue for God. But if you're here and you're not saved, you've never come to that point where you realize, boy, I am a sinner. There is a holy God. I can't stand before God with my sin. How can I stand in the presence of God Almighty having said this and said this and having said this and I don't control my tongue in this way and I said this? You need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. You need to take that tongue and you need to realize this sin, like all of my sin, is taking me straight toward hell. You need to repent of that sin, get it behind you, turn to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to save you. And at that moment, if you will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from going off the edge into an eternal hellfire. You turn around. Do you get victory immediately? Are you all the way over there? No, it's called growing as a Christian. You start taking steps toward God. And the further you get toward God, the further away from the world you get. It's growing. Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says in Philippians 2:11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By their own volition or against their will, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. Will you do it now? If you're not saved, will you get saved today? Will you turn to Jesus Christ as Lord today? Will you turn to Him and accept Him today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Christian, you say, my language is awfully close to the world. I need to separate out from that. You need to train your tongue. You need to bridle that tongue. Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed.